Micro Effect. Micro broadcasters covering 194,000 square miles and bringing the people's voice to little towns all across America.
Silver has long been used throughout history as a way to disinfect and prolong the freshness of water and food, as well as utilized for its beneficial healing and anti-disease properties. From the Greeks, the Romans, and the Phoenicians to the Middle Ages, from the first settlers in America to its preventative use against infection during World War I, silver was always known for its health benefits. Hippocrates wrote extensively about the healing power of silver. In the 1920s, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration approved the use of silver solutions as antibacterial agents. So what happened? Why aren't you hearing about silver these days? For those seeking an alternative to the big pharma products and their side effects, International Health has what you've been looking for. Super Silver is an engineered silver nanoparticle solution created using the unique and patented silver technology process of International Health's biotech labs. Hundreds of university and government level tests have been done, and the 50th clinical trial has been completed. What is the FDA hiding from you? Find out at www.ihsite.com or call Glenn at 800-974-1879 to place an order.
Through the years of providing water filters to America, you've come to us and we've listened. You asked us to make the water level visible to eliminate the guesswork when refilling the water. We listened. You asked for an elevated base so the system could be used in places beside on the edge of a counter. We listened. You asked us to develop a filter that was made in the USA. We listened. You asked us to include an emergency light for camping and driving.
Well, the survival, I mean, everyone's talking about the subjects we've covered this week. I don't know everyone, but my emails are filled with people talking about them. And that is, number one, that is the IDF, the Israel Defense Forces, met with the security chiefs of Aviasha, which means Judea and Samaria. It used to mean Gaza as well. And they are going to mount an operation where every resident, Jewish resident, of course, of Judea and Samaria are going to have to turn in their weapons. Now, the excuse being given are license violations, the all-purpose excuse. What it means, of course, is those weapons won't be returned, and, well, the residents will, of course, be without arms. Now, I've written about this for the longest time, that this was an initial plan of the Oslo Accords, and there were secret clauses, and I was very fortunate to see these secret clauses, and we've spoken about that. I think it's been so long that maybe it might be wise to speak about that again. But what I said was at some point they are going to attempt to take away the arms from the Jewish residents and to make them feel utterly helpless. The army will pull back, there will be terrorism, and there will be no defense. Now, at the same time as this meeting took place, and by the way, the security chiefs of Aviasha were not fooled. They went into panic mode, and we discussed this the day after it happened. And now it seems like it takes a week for the rest of the population to understand what a disaster this is going to become, because the Israeli government has so-called compromise. You know, I love the one where they use the word compromise, which means that, like, they wanted something bigger, but they were so cowed by public reaction that they compromised. It was about 2 weeks ago the government announced that it would allow 50 state-of-the-art Russian armored personnel carriers to be given to the Palestinian Authority. Now, I don't know if you've ever been in an APC, but one of those could take a settlement all by itself. Without an anti-tank missile, a low or something to shoot through them, they'll just go house to house, shoot everyone up, and no one can stop them. They've got 8 inches of steel protecting them. And there was such a hubbub from the IDF and supposedly from the Shabak, or actually I believe it was from the honest members of the Shabak, that the government relented and has settled on only 25 brand new 2007 Russian APCs to be delivered to the Palestinian Authority.
Hang on there, we'll be right back.
As the old saying goes, if you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. But if you give him a Berkey system, you give him the ability to obtain purified water for a lifetime. This year, when giving Christmas gifts, instead of unwanted trinkets, give a meaningful and substantial gift. Berkey systems are ideal for every member of your family, especially the young ones in college. Unlike other water filtration systems, Berkey purifiers are portable. They require no plumbing, and the elements don't have to be replaced every 4 to 6 months. Perfect for anyone on a tight budget. And more importantly, if there's an unexpected emergency, your loved ones will be prepared. That's because Berkey systems are able to purify raw, untreated water. Check out our Christmas specials at BerkeyWater.com. With one of our quantity specials, you not only get a discount, but in one stop, you can get gifts for the entire family. That's BerkeyWater.com or call 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
I'm Joyce Riley, and many of you know that for years I was a cardiovascular heart transplant nurse. Since that time, I've educated myself on the importance of preventative care and cardio maintenance. It all begins with providing your heart and vascular system with the building blocks for good health. Strauss Heart Drops were developed by Jim Strauss after he suffered a heart attack in 1979. His doctor said he would only survive if he had heart bypass surgery. As a seventh-generation herbalist, Jim knew that there were herbs that had a long tradition of heart, blood, and circulation properties, and that there had to be another option besides going under the knife. Jim said no and began working on a formula to better himself and others. After he perfected the mixture of herbs and spices, he created Strauss Heart Drops. Get the Strauss Heart Drops 4-ounce bottle for only $79.95. Call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Now you really can do your heart right with Strauss Heart Drops.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, our guest this afternoon is Barry Shamish. Barry, pick up the story.
Well, the story ends till we go on to our main subject. We find out in today's news releases that the Russians are training the Palestinian Authority Army. So, lucky settlers, they're now... Well, I mean, if the army is there to protect them, no one can stop the APCs from going into a disarmed settlement. They're tipping the balance so far away from these people, they'll have no chance in any upcoming confrontation. They'll have no chance whatsoever. That's the news from Israel. We can now go on to Return of the Giants, if you'd like.
All right, that's good.
Well, what we're going to talk about this week we'll try and make it two-pronged. I found that actually we run out of time, but let's start with one prong, and that is in April of 1997, there was an event in a place called Beit Zarzir, which is an Arab town. I believe it's Druze, by the way. But nonetheless, what happened there was lights were seen in the wheat field outside the town, and one of the residents, his name was Golan Masren, was told about these lights, tiny lights, in the wheat field. It's that simple, at night. And the next day he went and investigated, and he found what is known as a crop formation. Now, the shape of this crop formation was very carefully measured by someone named Gil Beyer, who I'm proud to say was my partner in a lot of these incidents in Israel. We spent many an evening chasing down these peculiar events. Now, Gil went to Beit Zarzir. This was on the first night of Passover. That will have some significance shortly. And the next day, Golan Masrin reported this formation to the police, and it got reported, and Gil and other ufologists went to Beit Zarzir, and they measured the formation. The formation was, imagine two quarter circles divided by a straight line. Each quarter circle from tip to tip ended up being 25 meters in diameter. The straight line was 25 meters in diameter from the bottom of these quarter circles. In short, it looked like a big umbrella. Not terribly impressive, but there were seven what Gil called pods. I would just call them holes. I don't know what the difference between a pod and a hole is, but in four of the pods, there was a white powder, which he collected, and in three, there was a red oil, which he collected. Now, we had just finished filming an episode of Sightings, and he knew the Sightings physicist, Dr. Levengood, and his associate, Dr. Nancy Talbot, and he sent the materials to them. The results apparently were pretty interesting. But now we switch a little bit. I did another TV show, and I don't mention this properly, because I was snubbed on the show. I was in there for a few seconds, even though I had written the book, Return of the Giants. Either they didn't like me or there was no room for me, but I arranged all their guests, and this show was on the Discovery Network, and it was an hour long. Not to go too off the topic, one of the guests was Dr. Marvin Antelman, who explained, he's a scientist as well, works at the Weizmann Institute, who explained the concept of giantism, that is still with us, that at one time it was in our genes, and every now and then it erupts. So at one time there were giants amongst human beings. It was quite interesting. But I went and I met Golan Masrin for this TV show. Now, the reason I did was because on the night of this formation, houses throughout the little village of Beit Zarzir saw giants. There were giants roaming around these houses. And the Arabs don't talk about this much. Part of the reason is that they're viewed quite often as suspicious and maybe a little primitive, and they don't like that reputation. But Golan Masrin was a very sophisticated young man. He was about 23 when we interviewed him, and he was willing to talk. And he had them in his house. They were 7 feet tall, but unlike the Jewish residents who felt they saw something physical, he said that the townspeople, him included, by the way, saw glowing objects, rather fluorescent glowing objects that floated around their houses. And he said the town is just terrified. He says people come home, they lock their doors. He said that this incident in the field, followed by these giant sightings, had completely disrupted the town of Beit Zarzir. And it was a good interview. It went well. And that is Passover of 1997. Now we jump forward to Rosh Hashanah of 1997. Without reminding you that the year before, Rosh Hashanah of 1996, was Avichai Akrai's Shikmona Beach pictograph, where some sort of vehicle, whatever it may have been, burnt its image on the sands of Shikmona Beach the year before. Now, that morning, the story is that a townsperson named Safrir Mizell was driving down a hill, and he looked in the cornfield of Kel Adashim. That's in the Jezreel Valley. It's about 5 miles from what is known as Har Megiddo, Mount Megiddo, or what has become in English as Armageddon. If you find significance to that, go ahead. I'm just laying out the facts. And there was a huge disruption in the cornfields. Somebody had tramped down a large image in the cornfield. And he phoned the police. First of all, eventually it got to Yosef Oren, a friend of mine, who phoned me on Rosh Hashanah morning. Oren Yosef is his name, I'm sorry. And he phoned me on Rosh Hashanah morning, and he invited me to see a genuine crop circle. And he asked if I'd like to come along. Now, you know, recalling there's no school, and I've got two kids, 5 and 6 years old, I said, sure, I'd love to come along. Let me bring my kids. And so I drove to Tel Aviv, picked them up. And then we drove to Rishon, and I picked up Yobar, and then we drove to the Jezreel Valley. Now, someone was waiting for us. Safir was waiting for us. And we went through a little grove of trees, and what we saw just astounded us. I mean, just simply astounded us. Now, remember, this is September, and the corn was literally high as an elephant's eye. Okay, it was 8 feet tall, the corn. Now, inside the cornfield was this, well, at first glance, it was just a crushed canyon. We walked in, and well, in some corners, the corn was crushed in a counterclockwise spiral. In other places, it was just plain crushed. And the first thing I do is I say to my children, and who are stunned by this, they've never seen such a thing, I said, look on the ground and try and find anything. We've had physical evidence previously, so I had my kids going up and down this formation. In the meantime, Oren, Gil, and I, we measured the formation from tip to tip. It was an amazing 50 meters in diameter, and then there was a lengthwise, there were two protruding balls. Okay, imagine two wings, and in the center there are two balls dividing the two wings. That was another 40 meters that we measured. And we picked up corn, and we thought there was something suspicious about the corn. They were oozing fluid, and the townspeople told us, don't worry, it's just old corn. That's what corn does when it hasn't been picked. And we spent the day just measuring, and we found no physical evidence whatsoever. We talked to other witnesses, and we drew it. And we took out a piece of paper and we walked, and as we walked, we drew this thing. And then at the end of my children, by the way, my daughter was just here in Florida, and she was 5 years old, and she remembers that day specifically. It's not something that has escaped her. She'll always remember walking through this crop formation. Now, we drove home, and everyone was tired. And we stopped at, again, a Druze restaurant. I remember we had lamb. And everyone was taking what we had just seen. I said to Gil, and I said to Oren, you know what this is. At first we thought it was a landing site where a machine of some kind had landed and left its image in the cornfield. I said, that's not what it is. Now, look at that picture. That's a picture of a profile of the disc.
Hold that thought. We're going to be back here in just a moment.
That happened
Hold that thought. We'll be back.
Ted Anderson from Midas, December 14, 2007. Gold, 790, 70-ounce gold coins can be purchased for $814.67, 401.55 for half, 278 for quarter. That's $814.67, 401.55, and 278. For years, Ron Paul has taken the position to uphold constitutional rights. He's been branded by special interest groups as doctrinal, refusing to bend his values. I can only imagine the pressure applied by Congress as he stands alone for these principles. He has given up a medical career for this. Ron Paul is running for president. The ideas of strong currency, ending the war, defending the Constitution, and protecting civil liberties are catching on. As a thank you, GCNLive.com, Midas Resources, and I would like to send you a free copy of the Ron Paul Family Cookbook. Call 800-686-2237 for your free copy. Again, that's 800-686-2237. I hope his values are touching your heart as deep as they are mine. That's 800-686-2237. Thanks again for supporting Ron Paul.
Black Berkey purification elements are more powerful than any gravity filter element on the market. These awesome elements are used in Berkey purification systems, and they can also be used to upgrade most other gravity filtration systems. They can purify raw, untreated water by removing pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, trihalomethanes, and chemicals such as chlorine, atrazine, styrene, and MTBE. These elements also reduce unwanted heavy metals such as lead, mercury, and aluminum. Unbelievably, they even remove small microparticulate from water like food coloring particles. Yet, they leave in the nutritional minerals that your body needs. Moreover, because they are recleanable, Black Berkey elements are more economical than the standard disposable elements, providing fresh, pure water for less than 2 cents per gallon.
Get a 2-pack for only $99 or a 4-pack for only $188 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438 or order on the web at BerkeyWater.com.
Some people believe a group of wealthy men control political parties, the American media, and the wealth of our nation. Is this true? Dr. Stanley Monteith spent 40 years studying secret societies and subversive movements. He lived in Africa for 3 years, and when he returned home, he studied the writings of the men who shaped the modern world. His book, Brotherhood of Darkness, identifies the people who control the world and the organizations they created. Dr. Monteith exposes the movement behind Rhodes scholarships, the origin of the Council on Foreign Relations, and the myths surrounding communism. He discusses the goal of all covert organizations, so if you read Brotherhood of Darkness, you will learn a secret that has been passed down through the centuries. When you learn this secret, you will understand what the future holds and what you must do to help preserve our nation. Call and order your copy. 877-300-7645. Only $12.95. That's 877-300-7695.
Since the year 2000, earthquakes, heat waves, droughts, tsunamis, floods, fires, and hurricanes have killed over 1 million people worldwide and forced tens of millions to go without food and water. After Katrina, the media was eager to show victims in New Orleans begging for food. If a disaster strikes you and your loved ones and you have no stored food, you'll be begging as well. Now our economy is slipping into an abyss that even Donald Trump says will make the Great Depression look like a Sunday picnic. The U.S. dollar is worth less today than it was even last week. Before food prices skyrocket, rocket trucks stop running and stores close their doors, Survival Enterprises can help you prepare. They're master distributors of Mountain House freeze-dried food with up to a 50-year shelf life. Survival Enterprises has real butter, cheese, and bread, real beef, chicken, and turkey, all canned for long-term storage. For their website and more info, call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. And remember, if you wait until you need us, it's too late. Call now.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and our guest is Barry Shamish, and he's describing this strange, we call them crop circles, but they are certainly of the cornfield. Something has left an imprint in this cornfield, And, of course, this is happening just at Rosh Hashanah. So many of these almost supernatural events have occurred on Jewish holidays, Passover, Sabbat, or so near Rosh Hashanah. And here we are. This is Rosh Hashanah, and this thing has occurred. Go ahead, pick the story up there.
Dr. Stan, not many of them. They all occurred on the Sabbath of the Jewish holidays.
Okay.
This is one of the main problems that us non-believers have. It can't be a coincidence. And I wrote a book called Return of the Giants, and just so you know, I had four Italian, one an interview with me, and three other reports on this book arrived at my home this week. So if I'm forgotten in America, it looks like I'm still remembered in Italy. These are events that are extremely unusual in the world. Well, you can call it supernatural. This may actually be natural for all I know. But let's switch from the two crop formations on Passover and Rosh Hashanah evening, by the way. First evening of Passover, first evening of Rosh Hashanah. And now let's look at the immense amount of UFO videos that I collected, not just for myself, also for the TV networks. By this time, I was five times on the sighting show, and that was on NBC. I was on the Discovery Channel for the Giant Show, and eventually Fox TV gave me a full half hour of primetime television. I wish they had done the same thing for Rabin. We could have solved the Rabin assassination if there was even some of the interest that was shown in my other research. But nonetheless, I collected these videos. Now, the first video is now, I mentioned it first, it's on YouTube now, and I had 60,000 hits in 2 months so far. It's considered by many, many people as possibly the greatest UFO ever filmed. And it began with a lady named Shula. She came to my house and showed me this tape. Now, I'm going to describe it, but I put out a DVD, which I really think if people want it, it does a lot more than my description. The picture is also my book, Return of the Giants, but here goes. Imagine two levels with windows. There are a dozen windows on each level separated by a black line. And this is, 10% of the actual UFO. It was filmed in Kibbutz Chatzor. On the first night, the filmmaker was Amichai Shua, and I ended up giving him most of the credit because he was first to discover it. The next night, the whole kibbutz was out. I'm talking 100 people were on the lawn watching this. Look, it's called the balcony UFO, and that's not my description. It looks like a series of balconies. But what Amichai did is he zoomed in on them. And to me, it looks like a skull, a big orange skull. And these windows aren't quite square. They're off squares. Everything is a little off. Now, he got very lucky on the second night. That thing stayed in the sky while the sun came up. And they got a picture of this thing in broad daylight. This craft, it's a typical craft, except never has a craft been so illuminated for a video camera. And this happened for three straight nights. Again, you're talking about the whole kibbutz stood outside and watched it. And by the way, it was over an airbase. An airbase was not far away. It was in the northern Negev. It was not far from Rehovot. But the question again remains, if it was an airbase experiment, where is this craft? It is never, the likes of it have never been seen again anywhere. Where'd the craft go? Now, I should add, I served in the Israeli Air Force long enough, and I was on the big bases. I never saw anything remotely like this craft. So I've got it on this DVD. Now, eventually, both Fox and the sighting show featured this one DVD. It's just so fantastic. And you're talking...
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Now you can upgrade your existing gravity filter to remove chemicals such as triamethylenes, atrazine, benzene, chlorine, chloroform, and MTBE to below detectable limits. Black Berkey elements are so powerful, they remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and transform water, even raw, stagnant pond water, into delicious, crystal-clear drinking water. Nitrates, nitrites, radon-222, unwanted heavy metals like lead, mercury, and aluminum are no problem. Foul tastes like chlorine and obnoxious sulfur odors are removed without removing the healthful and beneficial minerals that your body needs. Black Berkey elements flow 1.5 to 2 times faster than ordinary gravity elements, which means it takes much less time to filter your water. Supercharge your gravity filter today. Upgrade to Black Berkey purification elements.
Get a 2-pack, only $99, or a 4-pack, only $188. Call New Millennium, 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
This is Elizabeth Border, author of the 2-book set, America Attacked and Chaos and Chemtrails. I wrote these books because I believe that every American should have the vital chemtrails research info. I was much heartened and encouraged when a radio listener recently wrote me, quote, "You are truly a great writer, so clear and powerful and thorough in your communication. You have the strength to forge ahead in the midst of darkness, and you also believe in the power of goodness and truth." I hope you listeners will order these crucial books. Send your check for $32 post-pay to Radio Liberty, P.O. Box 969, Soquel, S-O-Q-U-E-L, California, 95073. $32 to Radio Liberty, Box 969, Soquel, California, 95073. Or call 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927.
I'm Joyce Riley, and many of you know that for years I was a cardiovascular heart transplant nurse. Since that time, I've educated myself on the importance of preventative care and cardio maintenance. It all begins with providing your heart and vascular system with the building blocks for good health. Strauss Heart Drops were developed by Jim Strauss after he suffered a heart attack in 1979. His doctor said he would only survive if he had heart bypass surgery. As a seventh-generation herbalist, Jim knew that there were herbs that had a long tradition of heart, blood, and circulation properties, and that there had to be another option besides going under the knife. Jim said no and began working on a formula to better himself and others. After he perfected the mixture of herbs and spices, he created Strauss Heart Drops. Get the Strauss Heart Drops 4-ounce bottle for only $79.95. Call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Now you really can do your heart right with Strauss Heart Drops.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, our guest Barry Shapmish, we're talking about the return of the Giants. And Barry, why don't you get your website out? Why don't you get your telephone number out so people would like to get that DVD, fascinating DVD on UFOs that you offer?
Oh, thank you for the opportunity. For this book, you have to go to lulu.com. That's www.lulu.com. In the right-hand corner, it says search, write in my name, Chamish, that's Chamish, and you'll get to Return of the Giants. Well, my website is the Barry Chamish website. You can get to it just by doing barrychamish.com, but you won't find these aerial phenomena on it. It's all politics. For not an expensive price, I'll send you this DVD. It's got... Well, we're just talking about a few of the UFOs. It's also got 5 of the TV shows. So if you want, give me a call at 904-501-7605. That's 904-501-7605. And let's go back to a few of these DVDs and how I got them. Now, one that is outstanding, I gave a lecture in Laughlin, Nevada. They have a big UFO Congress, and a lady from Japan, Japanese TV, interviewed me at length, and she was very impressed with a video that I had received from Nahum Shomroni. He lives in downtown Tel Aviv. An older man, he was, I guess in his 70s, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, 3 o'clock actually, in November of 1997. He goes outside, looks in the sky. Now, try and imagine flying brains, or as other people put it, flying sponges. And not just one or two, there are about a dozen of them. And they're flying over Tel Aviv. In this video, you hear a pile driver from a building site right in the background, while these things are flying in the blue sky of Tel Aviv. And really, no other UFO anywhere in the world has been like this. Now, when I say brain, I even mean with the stem reaching down to the throat. They look like flying brains. What was inside them is probably a better question, but these were flying in the middle of the day. Now, the reason I'll mention the middle of the day is here's how I met Gil Barr. And Gil Barr, of course, was eventually filmed by everybody, Fox and Sightings. And what Gil Barr did was remarkable. Basically, you just have to look, and you could see this, but not many people were looking. It was Rishon LeZion. It was 4 in the afternoon. It was also around November 77. He sees a disc in the sky, and again, this is on my DVD, but there's an Israeli jet chasing it. There is a disc and a jet in the sky. Now the disc has all the advantages. It just circles the jet, and the jet never has a chance. All the jet can do is fly in a straight line and do very, very slow turns. This thing just did circles around it. But he captured what I assume, somebody can correct me, it's the only dogfight between a UFO and an Air Force jet. You know, it's that simple. Once again, because I went to meet Gil and ask him a few questions about how we captured this video, we actually became partners, very close partners. He was only 17 years old, but he was a lot smarter than I was. And what we next saw, another character in the Israeli phenomena. Now get this, because in America you don't have this, and in Israel you did. In the years 1996 and 1997, there were so many ridiculous phenomena seen by so many Israelis that the second largest newspaper in the country, Ma'ariv, actually had a column devoted entirely to this phenomena. I forget the name of the column, but I sure know the columnist. It was David Ronen, a very nice guy. They're all nice guys. There was a very tight circle of strong ufologists in Israel, very, very intelligent group of people, and that's how I gathered the information for this book. Now, in short, I owe a lot to David Ronen, because when you have a column in the second biggest paper in the country, you're going to get the videos. People are going to send you whatever they shot because they know you. And that's what happened with really this next video is certainly one of the most talked about videos ever. Okay, not just Israel, ever. Now, you have to imagine two videos 6 months apart in 1996. Now, it's in the city of Rosh Ha'Ain, and I lived about 15 miles from Rosh Ha'Ain. And the first video, you see two very big lights in the sky, but both of them drop like a chicken hatches an egg. They both dropped another light underneath them that stayed in the sky. And that was pretty amazing stuff. 6 months later, the filmmaker, who was an immigrant from Yugoslavia, well, then Yugoslavia, filmed something that has, again, as far as I know, has never, ever been filmed before. If you can imagine a dogfight between two UFOs. Now, on the right-hand side, big white lights. On the left-hand side, suddenly making a beeline for this bright light is a slightly smaller light, and it smashes into it, and there's a big explosion, and then there's nothing in the sky anymore. All right? This was actually filmed, and it was more than just filmed. I sent it, like all of my material, I sent it for testing. In this case, what is known as the MUFON organization, MUFON, their laboratories put it through video testing. There was nothing on the video itself to suggest tampering whatsoever. There was a big crane in the middle of the shot suggesting that it was highly natural. And what do you know? There was an explosion. But this was not a simple explosion, because people went looking underneath the explosion for shrapnel. There was not one piece of shrapnel found. And this was not an explosion as we know explosions. This was some sort of metaphysical or spiritual explosion, but it was not an explosion of two pieces of metal. And that's not what happened there. We don't know what happened there, let's be frank. But on this little DVD of mine, you can actually see two UFOs smashing into each other. Dr. Stein, you've seen the DVD. Do you remember that little clip?
I really don't remember that one, but I do remember how much I enjoyed the DVD all together.
Don't be shy. It's the last clip on the tape.
Right.
Re-look at this. This is something beyond mysterious. And in the world of video cameras, you picked up something remarkable. Now, there are two... How much time do we have?
We've got about 8 minutes.
Okay. I'm going to divide the last 8 minutes into a couple of more remarkable DVDs. I'm sorry, in those days there were no DVDs. These were videos that I tracked down. And now one is in my book. It's this, oh boy, it's the Cohen family of Ramat HaChayal. Now, Ramat HaChayal had an incident that, again, you don't get incidents like this in the normal world outside of Israel during this period. And by the way, I repeat, this was not taking place in Israel's neighbors. It wasn't taking place in Lebanon, Jordan, and for that matter, it was barely taking place in what we call Yesha. It was taking place down the middle of Israel. We've all drawn maps of the incidents. For some reason or another, this variety of UFOs was picking on Israel during the 1990s, from 1987 to 99, and we don't know why. Okay, let's just leave it at that. I would have been much happier if these incidents were taking place in downtown Damascus, but that's not what happened. In Ramat HaChayal, the entire town woke up at 3 in the morning as if the sun had risen. There was a light that had illuminated the town, so it was daylight at 3 in the morning. And that's what people called the film, incidentally. Daylight at 3 in the morning, Ramat HaChayal. Now, there was a period when the Cohen family, who sent it to David Ronen, sued him for showing it. And they wanted an enormous amount of money for their film. And for a while, I stopped showing it because David Ronan phoned me up and said, do me a favor, don't show it. And after a while, I said, to hell with it. Let him sue me. This is too important to be held in the deluded hands of the Cohen family. And in my book, Return of the Giants, I do a close-up. The artwork or the Photoshop work was done by Gil Barr. He exposed the lights, and in the middle of the lights, you're prototypical alien. I mean, really, the head shape, the body shape, but it's more than just that the being is there. It emits a shadow. There is a shadow from this being in the middle of the lights. And I think we're talking about the creature being filmed. That's what I think. I'm sure of it, in fact. And, you know, this book of mine, Return of the Giants, it's also in color. If you really want to see this being, you go to lulu.com and ask for the color version of the book, and you can actually see this thing. And once again, for some reason in Israel, from 1996 to 1999, they were filming the complete spectrum of UFOs, phenomena that were not, these are not little lights in the sky, little discs that you see in other countries. These are full color, call them UFOs, call them whatever you want. For some reason, Israel had an attack of UFOs in the period when its diplomacy was going straight downhill. And you can theorize about that as well. Now, the next UFO was someone named El Adniger, and he filmed this in 1996 from his balcony in Kfar Saba. It was over three nights, and it's very impressive. He has a friend over on the second and third night, and they're talking about what they see. Now, what you see is just simply too phenomenal for words. The first thing you see in the sky is an apple. For lack of a better, it's an apple. It's got a core. It's got a wick. It's an apple. Except this apple, now get this, before our very eyes, it changes color and becomes a pineapple. And this is on film. No. Okay? Now, what El Adniger did is he took his camera and he pointed it at the street. Okay? And we see a bus and we see cars moving. Then he takes the camera and it puts it in the sky. It's over a town called Kochav Yair. Nice place on the Green Line. That's where this thing is hanging in the sky above Kochav Yair. Now, El Adniger filmed this over three nights. It must have taken four or five thoroughly distinct shapes. It's extremely colorful. It's extremely large. It shouldn't have been in the sky. And the Fox TV show had someone named Bruce McAbee, an expert on UFOs, saying just outright that this has just got to be declared extremely mysterious and impossible to explain. You cannot explain how it changed shape in front of the camera. Now, these, by the way, I'm going to repeat my basic information if people actually want to have a look at this DVD. Just phone me at 904-461-7605. I got that wrong. Please stop me. 904-501-7605. That's 904-501-7605. I'll send you this DVD. Now, how much time do we have now?
You've got about 2 minutes.
All right. The very last one was a professor. The last DVD I acquired was in July of 1999 at a town called Yavna. His name was also Ronan. He was a professor at Bar-Ilan University of the Kabbalah. Now, it seems it's an uncanny video with which, again, the Fox TV people put on their show and highlighted it flashes. What can I say? All I can tell you is this man got the town out, and you hear them talking in the background. There are dozens of people watching this thing in the sky and watching it getting filmed. But the filmmaker is none other than a professor of Kabbalah. I think there's a great irony in that. But as for a fine witness in Israel to this event, he was a very, very fitting end to my short career gathering proof that Israel, for some reason or another, was of immense interest. Well, to people, I don't know who they are. I frankly have no idea who these people were. But we have spoken about the Oslo Accord and the timing of the sighting of the giants. None of this, folks, is made up. And it, I'm told it may have saved my life because nobody believed, nobody. Anyone who wants to defame me would just say that he's been researching this phenomenon, therefore Rabin can't be real, and I was told to save my life. But who's to say?
Well, anyway, Barry, we're just about out of time, but thank you very much for being with us. I think it's a fascinating series of programs we've done on the Return of the Giants, and of course you can get the book, you can get the DVD from Barry, and we'll be talking to Barry again hopefully next week. Bye-bye, and thank you so very much.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stamp.
Bye-bye.
Bye, all.
Okay, we'll be back in just a moment to wrap up today's program here on Genesis.
The war on terrorism, will it be fought overseas or will it affect us here at home? If you are like most folks, you want to be prepared but can't afford an underground shelter. So what do you do? Did you know that you can use your home as a shelter against fallout and biological or chemical attacks? With a little know-how, it's not that difficult. Sheltering in place, surviving acts of terrorism from biological, chemical, and radioactive fallout. Developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government, gives you easy-to-follow video instructions and walks you step-by-step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. Get this critical video every American needs for only $29 plus shipping. Order by calling New Millennium today at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438. Or order on the web at BerkeyWater.com.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful, attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Well,
Hail, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, coming to from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. And this is the time when I need to remind all of our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. And if you're out there in the audience, you can help us. We'd sure love to hear from you. And that's how we're able to maintain the outreach that we have with almost 60 outlets across America, shortwave, internet, satellite, radio stations. We're reaching people with the information they're not going to get elsewhere. If you'd like to be part of the Radio Liberty family, don't be bashful. Just give us a call, 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we want to suggest that you really have to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, because it will give you a real insight into what's going on. We also have this on a DVD, and if you'd like to get 25 copies of the DVD for $99, ordinarily it's $19.95 each, plus shipping, but you can get 25 copies for $99, and of course you'll have to pay the shipping, but this is an offer we make every time we want to make another 1,000 copies, and believe me, this DVD is being shown all over the world. That's the Brotherhood of Darkness DVD. If you're interested in getting 25 copies, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, if you haven't yet seen my talk on The Forbidden Secret, you need to get it. You need to get the 4-tape set or 4-CD set on The Secret Behind the Secret. We recommend the 4-tape or CD set on the supernatural interviews with Joanna Michelson and certainly her book, The Beautiful Side of Evil. We have a 4-tape set with Malachi Martin, and of course with that we recommend his book, Hostage to the Devil. It's a story of 5 exorcisms, and it will, of course, help you to understand what is going on. There are these supernatural forces in the world. Certainly, what do we know about alien intervention? What do we know about UFOs? They come from the other realm. They come from the other dimension. We have a great book. It's called Alien Intervention. That's Alien Intervention. And then, of course, we have a book called Spiritual Warfare. We have this written by Tom Horn. And then we carry his book on the Ahriman Gate, this idea of cloning human beings. And then the Stargate by Tom, which, of course, deals with the people who've tried to... Introduce you to the other dimension, to the certainly to the elder brothers, the ancients of wisdom, the spiritual hierarchy that rules the world. And there really is a spiritual hierarchy that comes from the other dimension. And many of our great writers have had their books channeled to
more than 700 chemicals have been found in our drinking water. And did you know that you can have greater exposure to these chemicals by taking hot showers than when you drink the water? That's because many chemicals are inhaled when they evaporate, and others are absorbed through the skin. The KDF shower filter is designed to reduce chlorine, lead, mercury, and iron, and it inhibits the growth of bacteria, mold, algae, and fungus in your shower. The media is non-toxic, environmentally sound, and is recyclable. The KDF shower filter will typically last 10,000 gallons or 1 year, whichever comes first. Hospitals, restaurants, and water treatment facilities use this media to reduce chlorine, iron, heavy metals, and bacteria. What about you? Order your KDF shower filter, normally $49, for our special price of only $35, a $14 savings. Call now to order at 1-888-803-4430.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming in from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that will determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views and the views of our guests. And, well, this afternoon our guest is Michael Perutke. And, Michael, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. Dr. Stan, thank you so much not only for letting me be on your program and talk to your audience. I'm grateful, always grateful to do that, but thanks so much for your work and for your dedication and for your perseverance and your great witness. You're a tower of strength to us out here. We appreciate your work.
Well, thank you so very much. Well, certainly Michael Perutke, for those of you who don't know, is a lawyer back in Annapolis, Maryland. He was the Constitution Party presidential candidate 3 years ago, and he's still very active in what's going on in the pro-life movement. And Michael, what would you like to talk about? What are the things that you think are so really important enough to bring up to our listeners?
Well, Dr. Stan, I was thinking this evening, if you don't mind, I'd like to kind of start with an idea that might sound a little bit different, but I think it'll lead into some good conversation and maybe even some good calls from your listeners. We're just about at the Christmas season, and you know that we're always we care very deeply about the restoration of the American Constitutional Republic. We care about taking biblical principles like our founders did and applying them to civil government, which they did, and they gave us that great example. And one of the lessons I think that comes home to me is that we need to start. The restoration of the country, Dr. Stan, has to start at home. It has to start with us. It has to start personally. And, during this Christmas season, we buy gifts and we trim trees and we greet relatives and friends, and we hear much about the circumstances of Christ's birth, the birth of Christ. And as we prepare for the celebration of Christmas, we rehearse the gospel stories of the coming of our Savior. We remember all the details of the story. We remember the wise men. We remember the star they followed. And I know when I was a kid, I always cared more about the camels. I was fascinated with the camels of the wise men. But we remember. We think about the manger and the inn, and the census that was being taken by Caesar Augustus, etc. The shepherds, the choirs of angels, and we not only hear about these events, we sing about them. We listen to blessed music. It inspires us to recall them and celebrate the coming of this perfect sacrifice and perfect example. And as we do that, these circumstances contemplating circumstances surrounding that event began me to thinking, Dr. Stan, about the circumstances around my life. And this is where I'm saying I wanted to kind of speak personally for a minute, and I know we might
we might get interrupted by station break, et cetera. But if you don't mind, I'd like to just talk about how we view the circumstances of our own lives. It seems like we're always using the circumstances of our lives as an excuse for our wrongful actions. And, you know, we do it as a culture, and we don't just do it as individuals. We do it as a culture, and we do it on a national level as well. And we forgive ourselves, don't we, for our own transgressions by saying that we did the best we could under the circumstances. And we say that we acted the way we did because the situation was dictated by the circumstances. And we're forever calling ourselves victims. We're a victim of circumstances. And while that's all right if you want to just forgive yourself and make yourself feel better, but considering Christ's perfect example...
Hold that thought for just a moment here.
Okay.
Go right ahead now.
Okay.
For our listeners out there, our guest this afternoon is Michael Perutka. And Michael Perutka was the Constitution Party presidential candidate 3 years ago. And we're talking this afternoon about Christmas season and how so often we want to forgive ourselves for the things that we've done in the past. We've all had things that have happened, and how do you forgive yourself? Well, I think that the major thing is we can't forgive ourselves. The only person who can forgive us is our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is, of course, the thing. We can't say, well, we were victims. The reason this happened was because this, that, or the other thing. I mean, if there is forgiveness, it will not come from us. You go ahead and pick up the story there, Michael.
Thank you, Dr. Sand. I appreciate that. And that's exactly where I was going. We don't have the authority to forgive ourselves, do we? But perhaps what we should strive toward is a more perfect understanding of the circumstances of our own lives, where they come from, that's very important, and how we should view them. And, you know, Dr. Stan, if I asked you to tell me who was the author of the circumstances of Christ's birth, you probably wouldn't hesitate to say that, although you know they were foretold by the prophets, these circumstances, they were authored by God himself, by the wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Eternal Father, and Prince of Peace. That's the author of the circumstances. So that answer is kind of easy. When we look at the circumstances of Christ's birth, that's a pretty easy answer for us to give. But who is the author of the circumstances of your life and of my life? Is it some lesser being or some pagan notion of chance? Well, you have to admit, of course, that's not true. Isn't the divine author of the incarnation, the birth of Christ, isn't that the same author of the joys and the trials of your life and my life as well? And hasn't he arranged and structured all the events of your life and my life to coincide for your good and for my good if you love him? If you check out Romans 8:28, he says that he works all these things together for the good of whom? Of those who love him.
And, you know, I think it's so difficult for people to understand that there really seems to be a pattern for the lives of those who do love the Lord, and we don't understand why things happen the way they do. Sometimes they seem very unfair or very tragic, and yet, you know, all things work together, you know, to follow that plan. And I think have seen that in my life. I'm sure you have in yours. You wonder how you got where we are today, but we were intended to be there. We'll be right back with our special guest. Well, this is Dr. Stan, I guess, is Michael Perutka. So pick the story up there, Michael.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. And I know this might seem like a digression here, but I think this is really important for us to understand if we personally are going to grab a hold of the problem and march forward. We can't consider ourselves to be victim of circumstances. You know, the trials that come at us, the trials and the tribulations that come at us, they might seem like random events in a random world, but is God the author of this? Well, yeah, he is. You know, the arrows that might pierce your heart in your personal circumstances sometime, and the pain and the suffering that you go through and the trials in your own life, if you consider, as we're told in the book of James, that these things are, that you should count all these trials, count it joy when you fall into various trials, I think is what James chapter 1, verse 2 says. That's actually the very beginning of the book. He says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. And the first observation that I would make about that verse is that it's not presented as a suggestion to you and me. It's a command. He says, count it as joy. Now, you know, that's difficult sometimes. When you are in the swamp with the alligators, it's tough to look at that alligator getting ready to take a bite out of your arm as a joy. But we're commanded to look at the circumstances of our lives in exactly that way. I was reading earlier this week Thomas Manton's commentary on the Book of James, and he points out in that book that James does not refer to them as afflictions, but as trials, because of God's purpose in sending them. He says the afflictions of the saints are not judgments, but corrections or trials, and he goes on to describe those trials as God's discipline to mortify sin, or his means to discover grace, to prove our faith, love, patience, sincerity, and constancy. So we're admonished to take care so that no impatience, and I'm quoting from Manton, no impatience, vanity, murmuring, or worldliness of spirit may appear in us. So all of this, even though it seems bad, is for our good and for our betterment. And we're told that those arrows, I was talking about arrows that pierce our heart with sorrow or with pain, are arrows sent by God and directed to and especially for us. Now, why? Well, to remind us of our need for Him as a culture. We find ourselves where we are because God put those circumstances here for us. And we're not in this time. I want to suggest to you, to your listeners, that, you know, we weren't put in any old time of history. we weren't just randomly dropped into any time of history. God took you and me and everybody listening to this program. He took us and placed us and he placed us with certain talents, certain skill sets, certain resources, certain friendships, you know, certain understandings. And he put us here, and he put us here now. And I just find it, and this all started kind of with a Christmas reverie on my part, I know, but I just find, particularly during this time and this season of the year, that's an important thing to remember. We're placed here now, and with certain understandings, and like I say, with certain resources, and with a job to do. And if we recognize that, and internalize that, we not only to be grateful and gratefully accept our situation, be it joyful or regrettable, but we can be positive witnesses in all areas of life, including the sphere of civil government, where we can positively affect change, and we can find ourselves always within God's will to do that, and not go off thinking that we are more powerful than we individually are. We are His vehicles. And you mentioned at the top of the program, Dr. Stan, that I had the privilege of representing the Constitution Party in 2004 as its presidential candidate, and what a privilege that was. But you know, I didn't do it because I thought, without God's help, that it was some kind of high probability event that I would be that I would succeed in that. I did it because I was convicted that it was God's will for me to run the race. Now, whether or not I won it was really, you know, whether Chuck Baldwin and I prevailed in that, and he was a great running mate, whether or not we prevailed in that was up to God. But whether or not we did our duty, and as we say at the Institute on the Constitution, plowed our row, that was up to us. I mean, that was up to us to respond to His calling. And I just want to encourage people, no matter where you are, no matter what you're involved in, no matter what row you happen to be plowing, plow it for the glory of the Lord and be convicted that that's where you should be plowing. And if you're not convicted that's to continue that analogy, where you should be plowing, then maybe you belong in another field. Maybe you belong somewhere in some other endeavor. But if you're convicted that this is the fulfillment of the skill sets, the talents, the resources that God's given you, listen, this is, as I heard you say many times, Dr. Stan, this is first, foremost, primarily, and really in a sense only, a spiritual battle. This is a spiritual battle. This is the forces of light and the forces of darkness. And use your skills and your talents and your skill sets to be that vehicle and that force for God's will to be done in your life and surrounding your life. And that's kind of that's what I would give as kind of my Christmas exhortation. And I would encourage people, make yourself stronger. You know, I always lead into a commercial for Institute on the Constitution because that's where my heart is. We all need to have the tools of understanding of what it means to believe and think like an American, so that we can be good vehicles for the change that we know is necessary. So I always encourage people to go to iotconline.com. We produce as you know, Dr. Stan, materials and videos and learning material, primarily our basic course called Institute on the Constitution, where people can learn the principles of American law and government. They can learn the words of the Constitution, what it says, where it comes from, and by so doing, equip your neighbors and your children to be active and committed and knowledgeable and effective vehicles for the change that is necessary. So I always encourage people to do that, and you should only, once you understand those principles, you should only vote for people who you are convinced understand those principles and will apply them. And you and I know there's really scant few of them. I've been recently corresponding with Representative Bobby Franklin from Georgia. I don't know whether you've ever had him on your show.
Never have.
He's a wonderful state legislator in Georgia who, believe me, gets it. When I say gets it, you know what I mean. He is biblically literate and committed to, in the state of Georgia and in his job, standing up for and defending the American biblical view of law and liberty and government. And, here in Maryland, we have a man like Don Dwyer who today, and this is just coming out in the news, this will be in the newspapers tomorrow morning. Today, he actually filed suit in, and I don't know if this will be successful, but he filed suit in Maryland's courts to overturn the special session they just had here in Maryland, which the illegal special session, which they had to drastically increase taxes here in Maryland, and it was a flawed, legally flawed session, and he's taken up the mantle and has filed a suit today to invalidate the whole legislative session. Now, whether or not that succeeds is really not my point. My point is, as a legislator, he has seen his duty. And even in the face of derision and lack of support from other legislators and derision in the press, he's doing his duty. That's the kind of it. Dr. Stan, if we had just a handful of men like that, it really wouldn't take. It doesn't even take a majority of men like that.
Well, I think you have to. I'm sure that the majority of the people there in Maryland don't want to have their taxes raised. And so this would be something I would think would be very, very popular among the populace. And the trouble is, the legislators, in our states many times don't represent the people. They're politicians. They use all sorts of tricks and gerrymandering to keep their people. One party, the other does that. But it's all about power. And, of course, what we really need to do is get back to what's right and what's wrong according to God's word. And unfortunately, we have very, very few people in the legislature who are deeply committed to God's law. They want to, they're not dedicated to the right, to the left. They're dedicated to staying in office, and they're going to raise taxes. They're going to raise taxes irrespective of whether the people want it or not. We'll be right back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Michael Perutkin. And certainly, raising taxes is never popular. Well, but the legislators will say, but we need more money to do this, that, and the other thing. Government, by its very nature, is wasteful. And certainly, you know, there is no state, no municipality, no county where you couldn't go through and start cutting back on personnel and cutting back on what the government is doing. Trouble is, the government is doing too much for us. I would think that actually among the people, Don Dwyer's effort to invalidate that legislative session would be very popular. What are you hearing, Michael?
Well, about this latest effort, really nothing yet, because it won't really hit the papers and be a matter of news until tomorrow morning. But Don will, Don is very active in our Institute on the Constitution. He comes and helps us teach classes, et cetera. He actually got his start at Institute on the Constitution. He actually was just a member of a class of one of our first classes back in the year 2000. And he became convicted that he needed to, once he learned these things, he went, whoa, I need to apply these things. And he became convicted he should run for office. And somebody with his beliefs actually prevailing and winning is just extremely unusual. But back in November of 2002, God granted that victory. And Don was elected, and then he was reelected in 2006. But you've asked me,
I would think that the people, the average taxpayer there in Maryland would be very, very happy to have anything to stop the legislature from increasing their taxes. Government never has enough money. Government, by its very essence, is waste.
Well, sure. But what happens, Dr. Stan, is that the news media acting in concert with powers that be in the legislature work to marginalize any kind of voice like Don's. For example, one of the things he did a couple of years ago, we had a judge, Judge Murdoch, in Baltimore City, who declared that Maryland's law, which prevented same-sex marriages, was unconstitutional, and declared that basically that men could marry men and women could marry women. And Don Dwyer, following his oath of office and his duty, put in a bill to called for the impeachment of that judge. And of course that judge needs to be impeached, because that judge does not understand and is unqualified to hold a judgeship, because she doesn't understand the limits of judicial power and her judicial authority. So Don Dwyer put in a bill. Now, he put that bill in knowing full well that it was not going, the bill of impeachment, knowing full well that it was not going to prevail, but he got zero support. Not one other legislator voted with him on that. But he did his duty. And the reaction of the populace was very much in his favor, and he did get reelected. But while popular opinion and the man on the street is very much in favor, there is this logjam or this kind of oppressive resistance.
Hold that thought, Michael. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Michael was just talking about the effort that Don Dwyer, who is associated with the Institute on the Constitution, Don Dwyer, a state legislator, when one of the judges actually held that the laws in Maryland that prevented men from marrying men and women from marrying women were wrong, that they should be able to marry. And, of course, then Don Dwyer filed a petition to impeach the judge. Well, none of the other legislators would back it. But a lot of the people, the man on the street, knows very well that homosexual marriage is not marriage. If you want to live together, you can't stop them. But why would you want to call it marriage? Why would you want to encourage lesbians to marry lesbians? It is not a marriage. It may be a civil union, call it what you will, but it's not a marriage. But this is an affront to God. It's in your face. This is what we're going to do. And, of course, when John Dwyer filed a petition calling for the impeachment of the judge, the public overall was very much in favor of Don. The legislators were all afraid. None of them would back him. And yet Don got reelected. Why? Because despite the fact he was attacked by the media, why the people support many of the ideas. And what we have to understand is that so often the opinions of our elected representatives, whether it be the state or the municipal or the federal level, don't represent the people. Just before the elections, of course, they'll come out with all sorts of good things. The average individual doesn't know how their legislator votes on under most circumstances, because everything is done to keep the people from knowing how the legislators vote. And the one thing the legislators fear is that the people are going to learn how they vote. And they'll send letters out telling you how conservative they are, even though they may be, of course, on the radical left. So go ahead, Michael. So anyway, I assume that when Don Dwyer put in the petition, the case came up, and, of course, Don had no support to impeach this judge.
Right. Now, he really didn't have any support. But again, once again, he did his duty, and he was satisfied that he did his duty, and so and that's my point. My point is, if there were only just a few, all you need is a committed minority. I know my friend Doug Phillips always says that history is made not by majorities but by committed minorities. It wouldn't take that much. It just takes a little more push and a little more commitment. You need a handful. You only really need a handful of Don Dwyer's or of Bobby Franklin's. And again, Bobby Franklin is a legislator, as I say, from Georgia. I mean, down there, I think they're elected every 2 years, and I think he's in his fifth or sixth session. So he's been elected five or six times already. He's in about his 11th or 12th year, He is somebody that is to be commended for his. He has put in the personhood of the unborn amendment in Georgia, and has helped other states to draft legislation for that same purpose. And so there are these men out there, and what we need to do is educate ourselves. We need to be learned up, if you will, in these principles, so that we can see the evil when we can understand and recognize the evil when we see it, and be a force for good, not just a complainer, not just a backbencher, but to be a force for good. And again, I would just tell you, here's a man, Don Dwyer. Tomorrow morning he will be on all the radio stations here in Maryland because of this. Now, he will be vilified by some, and he'll be mocked by some, because what he's doing is standing against a governor and a legislature that has just hoodwinked and the people of Maryland and pushed through horrendous tax increases, saying that they're needed because of an emergency. But the emergency hasn't even happened yet. It's an emergency because the governor's bill that he's going to put in for revenue next year, he expects to cause an emergency. But, of course, he doesn't have to put that bill in. He could cut the budget and not create the emergency, and therefore the tax increase that they called the special session for would not be necessary. But at any rate, Don has taken an action here which is bold, which is courageous, which is a matter of conviction, and will cause him to be probably loved by many of us, but hated and vilified by some, and not, and he's willing to do that, and you could only be willing to do that if what you believed and what was in your heart was a recognition and an acknowledgement of higher moral law to which you are accountable.
Amen to that. Well, we're going to be back in just a moment here with Michael Perugia here at the Radio Liberty Network. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest is Michael Perugia. And Michael, go ahead and pick up the story there.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. I was using the example of Don Dwyer here in Maryland and Bobby Franklin, who's a legislator, a state representative in Georgia. And they're only, look, there's really a handful of men that I know of, but it's a growing handful, and what we need to do is to encourage men like that to take their place, to stand on the wall for us. And it, the logical thought that flows from that, Dr. Stan, is that, well, if you are aware of these principles and you study them and you're prepared, and you don't see in your midst someone who is standing on the wall for whom you can vote, well, maybe it's you. Maybe it's you. Maybe it's your time to stand on the wall. And now you don't want to do that unless you've prepared yourself, unless you've studied and understood these things and have the ability and to do it. And you have your life in ordered in such a way that you. You know, it's God, family, and the Republic, and so you've got to honor God, defend the family, and then restore the Republic. So it's you got to keep things in order. But I frequently, when I speak, Dr. Stan, at different events, I always try to take the opportunity to exhort people who perhaps have never thought, hey, maybe I could run, maybe I could be a state rep, maybe I could be on the county council, maybe I could. Take my place on the wall and be a vehicle for God's law to be again recognized and acknowledged and followed in the civil body politic. So I always encourage people to think about that because, you know, maybe you've never thought about that. So maybe you ought to think about it. But again, I always say that you need to not just become part of the problem, but part of the solution. And in order to do that, you need to understand the principles. And I know that you've had Pastor Whitney from Institute on the Constitution on your program a number of times. And I know that he's articulated a number of the teaching points that we go through at Institute on the Constitution. We are very, very committed.
I'm going to have to ask you to just hold that thought for just a moment. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this is Michael Perugia. Michael, before we go on, would you like to get your website out, telephone number, if people would like to get in touch with the Institute of the Constitution? Because, you know, we can talk all we want to about, well, this person might run for office, but if people run for political office, and it doesn't matter what office they run for, but if they don't understand the Constitution, they do not understand the amazing form of government that we have and why America is different than any other nation. If they don't understand this idea of limitations placed on government power, the function of the government in the United States is different than that of any other government anywhere in the world at any time in history. And it is different because the Constitution limits the power of what the government can do. And in many states, that's true as well, because every state is a republic, not a democracy. Every state is a republic, just as our national government is a republic and not a democracy. In fact, probably if you were to ask 100 legislators the difference between a republic and a democracy, probably you'd be lucky if you had one or two of them who could tell you the difference. What we need to do is to train people about our form of government. And that's really what Michael is doing, and he does so very, very well and totally dedicated on his part through the concepts laid out in the Institute of the Constitution, which are to educate the American people and let them understand our form of government. And this is not taught in our colleges. It's not taught in our law schools. Most of our legislators do not understand our Constitution, and that is why they are breaking their oath of office on a regular basis. They've sworn to uphold the Constitution, and they don't do it because they don't understand the Constitution. So how can people get hold of your organization and begin to learn about this wonderful form of government that only we here in America have the opportunity to enjoy?
Well, Dr. Stan, people can they can call us at 866-730-9796. Let me repeat that. It's 866-730-9796. Or they can go to IOTC, that stands for Institute on the Constitution, IOTConline.com, IOTConline.com, or again, 866-730-9796. And I encourage people to do that because the way we advertise it and the way we say on our materials, it says our educational programs are intended to reconnect Americans to the history of the American Republic, and to their heritage of liberty under law. You know, if you understand the concept of a republic, Dr. Stan, and you just were pointing out that our states themselves are republics and not democracies, and Article 4, Section 4 of our Constitution guarantees a republican form of government to each state, and that's, of course, republican meaning Republican principles, not the Republican Party. And if you understand that, you understand that both the government and the people, the civil government and the individuals in the society, are responsible to higher moral law. You see, as in a democracy, it's the will of the majority that creates law, that becomes law. If the majority of people, if 50% plus one person, says that anybody with the initials MAP, like Michael Anthony Peruca, will be jailed, incarcerated, or killed, or whatever, then that's the law in a democracy. In a democracy, you can have a law like that. You could say that everybody with freckles should be murdered, done away with. And that would be law, because law is made by the will of the majority. Not so in a republic. Not so. In our constitutional republic, there is the people and the government are responsible to and are underneath of God's law and accountable to God's law. And that's why it doesn't matter what a Supreme Court says or whether legislature says that you can have abortions. Abortion can never be legal and is not legal and has never been legal in our republic because it violates Exodus 20:13, which says, "Thou shalt not murder." So such a quote unquote law could never be a law. It's what Chief Justice Roy Moore, formerly of the Alabama Supreme Court, calls unlaw. We live today under something he calls unlaw, and I kind of like that term. It's called law, and it's enforced in an oppressive way, but it's not law because such a thing could never be law.
Well, I think the important thing about the abortion issue is that this had nothing to do with the federal government. Matters to do with life, liberty, and property were the states. And the states, you know, traditionally had laws against abortion. And then along comes the Supreme Court, which is made up at this time of people who hate humanity, and they simply say all of the state laws are invalid. Any woman can kill any child at any time. And, of course, the issue is, this has no business of the federal government. It is a state matter and should be handled at the states, not at the federal level. And, of course, the fact that, you know, the Republican administration, where they control both the Senate and the House and the executive branch of government, all they had to do was pass a law saying the federal government will have nothing to do with abortion, this will be a state issue, and the Supreme Court cannot intervene, and they could have done that at any time, and George Bush adamantly refused to do it. And we have to ask ourselves, is George Bush really pro-life, or is this simply to string along the Christians so that they'll vote for the Republican administration? Anyway, Michael, I commend you for the work you're doing with the Institute of the Constitution. People have to understand our form of government. Now, if you're out there in the listening audience and you have a question or comment, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. But what people need to understand is that America has the most unique form of government in the world. Never before in all history have they established a government where the power of the federal authority was limited by the chains of the Constitution, so that most things the federal government could not intervene in. It had nothing to do with agriculture. It had nothing to do with education. It was limited in what it could do. There were only 18 things that it could do, and they were laid out in the course of Section 8 of Article 1 of the Constitution. And other than those 18 issues, the federal government could not intervene in anything else. And it is because we have forgotten about the Constitution. Every legislator swears to uphold the Constitution and defend it against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And yet most of our legislators are enemies of the Constitution, because after having sworn to uphold the Constitution, they go right ahead and violate it, and the President has violated it by signing the McCain-Feingold bill, which he said, I know it's unconstitutional, but of course in the Supreme Court will take care of that. Well,
that's a treasonous statement right there.
The Supreme Court didn't take care of it. He never should have signed it, and the Supreme Court validated it. And, of course, it was a terrible piece of legislation. And that was basis for the impeachment. Anybody who swears to uphold the Constitution and violates it should be impeached. But, of course, there's no cry for that because most of our elected representatives either do not understand or do not agree with this idea that their power is limited by the change of the Constitution. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. Michael, go right ahead. Now, my understanding is you're already having these classes put on in almost every state in the Union?
Well, I think we actually have been in every state Dr. Stanton. Let me apologize, because you got me, what you were saying there got me so worked up, I tried to talk over you, and that you should never do that to the host of a radio show. And But I was trying to agree with you, so I was trying to say a hearty amen. You made the point earlier that the Constitution is a document which limits and enumerates the powers of the central government, of the federal government. But the important point that you folks need to remember, and that we all need to remember, is that it's not self-enforcing. Constitution doesn't enforce itself. It needs people like you and me, and people like Bobby Franklin and Don Dwyer. It needs people like that to defend it and protect it. And as you mentioned, these legislators in the states, they take an oath to it, and the legislators at the federal level, they take an oath to it, and they haven't even read it. They haven't even read it nor studied it, much less understand its principles. And Dr. Stanton, many people who might be listening to your show for the first time, and I know you have a very wise and learned audience, and you've been a major factor in getting them wise and learned. But many people might not even know that. You know, you could read the Constitution tonight. You could sit down and read it in about 20-25 minutes or so. What it says and the understanding of it is not very deep or complicated. It's really pretty simple. It's not intricate. It's straightforward, and it can be understood by the common people. But the common people, you, me, we need to pick it up and learn it, and learn the history that surrounds it, so we understand, its subtleties. But it's not intricate or difficult, and we shouldn't just give it over to these people with black robes or high offices and say, you need to tell us what it means, or tell us how to think, or tell us what to believe. Because what we get is what we get from those people, so that they can maintain their positions of authority and power. We get mush and drivel and what I would call obfuscation. We get confusion and we get tyranny and oppression and deceit. And all the things that go with that, we get taken, we get hornswoggled, we get boondoggled, and that's the state of it. And the make no mistake, as I've heard on your program before, Dr. Stan, with other guests, and heard you and read your book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, there is an active conspiracy of people who want to centralize power in the biggest way possible. They want to achieve a world government of elite. They want to limit the population. They want to move people back into cities where they can keep control and over them in a better way. They want to control and rule the world. They want one world government, and we have people elected. Matter of fact, most of the leaders in America for the past, you say the number of years, 50, 75, 100 years, have been members of the Council of Foreign Relations, or its predecessors, and we have that situation that's growing and building, and we need to get smart and get educated, so that we can see it, articulate it, and defend ourselves against it.
Amen to that. I think it's so important that people really understand the Constitution, understand that our freedom is based upon the fact that the power of the central government is limited, and they're not to have anything to do with the individual. That's why we were free. That's why we don't have to have papers. But in the name of fighting the wicked Osama bin Laden, who's in a cave over in Pakistan, who is plotting to take away our freedom, our own federal government, wants everybody to have an identification card. They want the ability to tap every telephone. In fact, they've been tapping every telephone in America for the last 30 years through something known as Project Echelon. Echelon. Go up on the internet and look it up. All this talk about, oh my goodness, the federal government is getting information from the telephone company or Verizon or AT&T. This is all just to confuse you. Project Echelon, which is a project of the National Security Agency, has tapped every telephone, and certainly has listened to every fax and email message since they became available. And they do it with computers, and then if there's anything questionable, they have it listened to by people. And they do it not only here, they do it all throughout the world. Of course, they have the British listen to our telephone calls. We listen to the British telephone calls because, of course, they wouldn't want to violate the law, would they? So, and they all play these games. And most of our members of Congress have never heard of Echelon. You go up on the Internet, you'll find all sorts of articles about it. But, of course, they've suppressed this information from the American people because they do not want them to know that there really are people at the highest levels of government who want a dictatorship, a one-world dictatorship, a one-world religion, and their control, and the control of the coming world leader. Well, Michael, you've got about a couple of minutes just to wrap up your thoughts for today.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. I would reiterate something you just said, which is I would ask people to consider what rights what rights has Osama bin Laden taken away from you? What rights has Osama bin Laden or Saddam Hussein or any other of the boogeymen that have been put up to scare you, or the big bad wolf that's been put up to scare you, that he's going to eat your grandma and you can't let him into the house, so you've got to sacrifice your liberty, your freedom, choose the lesser of two evils, and I'm far more afraid of George Bush or Hillary Clinton or Mike Huckabee or Rudy Giuliani or of any of these people. I'm far more scared of any of them than I am of Osama bin Laden or Saddam Hussein. So having said that, let me, if I could just, I have a minute, to go back to where we began, Dr. Stan, and cut me off when you need to, but look, it's Christmas season. I want to wish you, Dr. Stan, and your listeners a Merry Christmas and a prosperous New Year, and I want to encourage you to and encourage the folks as we consider the circumstances of Christmas, consider the circumstances of our own lives, and realize that they are not things that we should be victims of, but things that we should be champions of. We should be champions of circumstance.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment.
Okay.
Michael, go ahead. You've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Okay. Thanks, Dr. Stan. My point that I was making here is we shouldn't see the circumstances of our own lives as things which are limiting to us or hampering us. Even the trials and the hard things that happen to us, we should see as opportunities, because God has ordained them, not only has ordained them, but precisely and directly and individually for us. So what I want to encourage you to be is not a victim of circumstance, but a champion of circumstance. Let's take the circumstances, the bad ones and what seem like bad ones and what seem like good ones, and let's use them to our advantage, not only first and primarily to glorify God, because he is worthy of glory and worthy of praise. So first of all and foremost of all, to glorify him, but then following his will and within his will and within his providence, to utilize our talents, our resources, our knowledge, to build our knowledge bigger and deeper and broader and wider, so that we can be effective tools for the restoration of a biblical worldview here in America, or wherever you live, to restore that biblical worldview so that we can think rightly, and if we can think rightly, then we will act rightly. But that takes education, it takes study, it takes dedication, it takes perseverance, and it takes an acknowledgement of God to do that. So I ask people to consider making your knowledge broader and deeper by going to iotconline.com or calling us at 866-730-9796 and broaden and deepen your understanding and reconnect yourself to an American way of thinking. Learn to think and believe like a biblical American.
And that, once again, that's www.iotc.com. Is that right?
IOTCOnline.com.
And we certainly commend the material that's there. And this whole idea of offering people a course. And, of course, everything's there. You don't have to know anything. All you have to do is just turn on the DVD or the video player. But you can begin to learn yourself and to teach others about the most wonderful document outside of the Bible that there is, and that's the American Constitution. And if our people would once again come to understand and venerate the Constitution as our forefathers did, then, of course, we would not have the problems we do today. Michael Perutka, God bless you. Thank you. Have a wonderful, wonderful Christmas. We'll talk to you after the first of the year.
All right, great. Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I have to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. And we do hope that many of you out there will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. You do that by calling us at 1-800-544. 8927. And as the end of the year approaches, and we'd like, of course, to break even at the end of the year if we can. And so if you are in a position to help us, again, our number 1-800-544-8927. Let me point out that, that we have a number of documents having to do with our Constitution. We have something called the Freedom Documents. They were put together by Pastor Chuck Baldwin. They are the 50 fundamental documents of America, the documents upon which our freedoms rest, from the Mayflower Compact to the Gettysburg Address to George Washington's farewell address, all those documents that you should have readily available to you to read, to understand and appreciate this wonderful form of government we have. They're the Freedom Documents. They're available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's the Freedom Documents. And then, of course, we actually carry a book called Betrayed by the Bench. It's written by our good friend John Stormer. It goes into the plan by the people on the Supreme Court to change America. And there were people appointed to the Supreme Court who hated America. And were going to use their position to alter our form of government, and they actually did it. And Betrayed by the Bench is certainly, as far as I'm concerned, the finest book on the Supreme Court, other than perhaps a little part of my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, which explains to you that the reason that the justices of the Supreme Court took God and prayer out of our schools and began to centralize all power in Washington, D.C., so that we could have pornography and promiscuity and all of these things portrayed all across the country. The reason this happened is because the Supreme Court justices were members of a secret society, and they were appointed to the Supreme Court to carry out the job that they did, and they were members of the Masons, who worship a different God. They worship the great architect of the universe, which is not the God of the Bible. And until people understand that there are other gods out there, and there are literally millions of people, especially in the secret societies, who worship the other gods, you can't understand anything going on today. That's why my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, is so important, because it will introduce you to the writings about the other gods. And the Masons control the Supreme Court. Between 1941 and 1971, in majorities of 5-4 to 8-1. Now, after that, they didn't put any more Masons on the Supreme Court, only one or two. Why? Because, they would never want the American people to begin thinking about secret societies or realize the profound impact they have on everything going on in America today. But there really are secret societies. In fact, both John Kerry and President Bush were members of the same secret society when they ran for president in 2004. And when Tim Russert asked both men about that secret society, both of them replied, "It's so secret, we can't even discuss it." Well, we have to ask, where is their loyalty? Is the loyalty to America or to the secret society they belong to? If you'd like to see the Skull and Bones initiation, you go to WilliamHKennedy.com, WilliamHKennedy.com, and you'll see the initiates kneeling before Lucifer. Because there is a Luciferian movement in the world today. People don't understand that, but it is prevalent. And, of course, you get our material while you begin to understand it. Let me suggest you get the Brotherhood of Darkness. I get our CD on the Brotherhood of Darkness. Get my talk on the Forbidden Secret. And the syllabus goes with it. And then please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and our ministers. But please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until Monday at the same time, may the Lord be with you.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at